भगवद गीता 11.16 अनेक बाहु दरवक्त्र नेत्रम पश्यामि त्वाम सर्वतो अनंत रूपम नांतम न मध्यम न पुनस्तवादिम पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूपम। सो ही दिस इज द वर्स इन विच अर्जुना आइडेंटिफाइज व्हाट ही इज सीइंग। सो ही सेज दैट what he is seeing is Vishwarupa. It's a universal form. Rupam Aishwaram, earlier had been, the word had been used to describe this, describe the glory of this form, but specifically it had not been named. So in this verse the narration moves from description to identification. Just like when we see some person, then say we're not very familiar with that person, but we have heard of heard that person, then we may start describing, oh, this person is so tall, this person has black hair, fair complexion, a prominent nose, a strong build, pointed round eyes, chubby cheeks or whatever. And then as we describe, you're like, hey, are you so and so? Oh, you're so and so, isn't it? So as there's description, then the description also causes some recollection. Oh, there was so and so person, I knew they would look like this, and this is how this person is looking. So this person must be that person. So we put two and two together, and thus we understand who it is. So this verse moves from description to identification. The description is going on. Actually, we see that there are three times description is happening in the 11th chapter. First is that there is the description which Krishna himself gives to Arjuna. Then there is a description which Sanjay gives to Dhritarashtra, and there's a description which Arjuna himself gives. So description makes perception intelligible. Otherwise, sometimes if we see something unfamiliar and there's no description of what it is, then we just can't make sense of anything in it. Suppose we see the map of a country, but then it is at a particular focus, or it is describing, it is maybe a cartographic map or whatever it is. It is in such a way that it doesn't make sense to us immediately. But then if somebody starts identifying, can you see this feature, then slowly we start identifying and we start making sense of it, and we start identifying, is this part of the city, is this that part of the city, we start identifying like that. Similarly over here, it is described that Krishna starts, as Arjuna describes, he identifies over here. So, Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. Oh, Vishveshwara. What I am seeing is Vishwarupa now. And there is again a poetic alliteration over here. Vishwa Vishwa comes twice. Vishveshwara. In fact, we could say the va sound comes twice, thrice in Vishwa, Ishwara, and Vishwa again. So, Pashyami, a lot of times there is a stress on seeing, because the whole Vishwarupa is a form to be seen. Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. It's to be seen with the eyes, and that's what is happening. Aneka Bahu Daravaktra Netram. So this is the most striking feature. So Sanjay describes it as soon as he talks about the universal form, when he describes it. 11.10 and 11. Anek vaktra nayanam, anek adbhuta darshanam. So anek vaktra, there's many mouths, many eyes, anek, so anek, many are there. So normally there is a standard form. People have two hands, two legs, one head. But when that standard form is not there, when something much more is there, then that is so unexpected, that is so astonishing, that it naturally causes some kind of it deserves some comment. It's so extraordinary that it deserves some comment, and that kind of comment which we have is what is being described over here. So similarly, Arjuna is also, whenever the Vishwarupa is talked about, Sanjay and Arjuna both, they find this striking point to observe that, oh, there is not just one, but there are many forms over here. So anek bahu daravaktra netram, so he said there are many arms, there are many bellies or abdomens, vaktra netram, there are many faces. Vaktra is specifically mouth, many mouths, many eyes. Pashyami tvam sarvato anantarupam. Anantarupam, O Lord, his form is unlimited. Sarvato, it pervades everywhere. It has no end. And Anantarupam, which is the last word in the second line, that is elaborated in the third line. Nantam namadhyam napunastavadim. Nantam namadhyam napunastavadim. There is no end, no middle, no beginning. In this way, this form just simply pervades everything. Nantam namadhyam napunastavadim. And thus, Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. O Lord, thus your form is pervading everything. Now, normally, if we make sense of a form, or we get a sense of a form by its dimensions, the very idea of a form conveys some kind of finiteness. When we say a building is huge, now, then huge also, although it may be, suppose a skyscraper may be so tall that we just look up and we may not even see where it ends. But even then, we know it ends. Even we can't see the upper end of that, then we can see it literally. Okay, it goes this far, on the left it goes this far, on the right. So normally, we make sense of form by considering dimensions. That even if the dimensions are huge, still the dimensions are finite. And if something just pervades everywhere all around with no end at all, then how do we conceive of that in terms of a shape or a form? So here, when Krishna is being referred by Arjuna as a rupa, as a form, and yet this form pervades everywhere, it's saying nantam namadhyam napunastavadim. I'm not able to see any end, any middle, any beginning. So what is going on over here? So if something is just all pervading, something has unlimited dimensions, then how can it be considered actually to be a form? What does it mean for it to be called a form? It simply means that it is a form which we ourselves cannot pursue very easily. So as far as the eye can go, till that the form is simply extending, 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 extending. But still, is a background along which the form is being seen, and thus he's calling it as a form. For example, if we are in the middle of an ocean, and all sides, as far as the eye can see, what we see is the ocean. So that means that, is the ocean unlimited? It is that. Nantam na madhyam na, one may say, nantam na madhyam na punastavadin. Is there any beginning? Is there any middle? Any end? No, we can't perceive it when in the middle of the ocean. It just seems everywhere. So the idea of a form, and the idea of unlimitedness, they can be reconciled when we consider the nature of human perception. That by human perception, we cannot see everything. So because we cannot see everything, we cannot know for sure that something is all pervading. Now to know for sure that something is all pervading, we ourselves will have to be all pervading. And if we are not all pervading, then we cannot know for sure that it is all pervading. But what we can know is that if something just pervades our vision and extends as far as our vision goes, and as far as we can see, it just goes further and further, then it is a fair inference to say that it is all pervading. But when we say at the same time, when it's all pervading, it doesn't mean that it is just amorphous. That within that all pervading form, Arjuna is able to see specific forms, specific shapes, specific, as I said, in this verse itself he says that there are faces, there are mouths, there are hands, there are bellies. So he's able to discern forms, and these various forms, they're just going on and on and on and on in all directions. So the universal form, Vishwarupa, which Arjuna identifies over here, is thus both specific in terms of having a form, and also unlimited in terms of extending far beyond the limits of the extent of human perception. Thank you.